seriously popular.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Good morning and welcome to your It's All Kicking Off weekend preview show. And with a deep breath and a big smile, we welcome back the Premier League. Chris, are you ready, rested and refreshed for the final push towards the line?
Yes, I think I am. I don't really enjoy international weeks, especially that I know Wales had a big game and probably, as you predicted, went out. But I'm glad the Premier League's back.
Yeah, you've actually been at home for a few days, which is unusual for you. It must be difficult for Sam and the kids. I mean, they'll be desperate for you to get back on the road, won't they?
Yeah, you'll have to ask them that. Been playing cricket, been bowling. My back's a little bit sore. Been bowling at my daughter.
Yeah, you're determined that 12-year-old Sophia is going to be opening the batting for England in 5 or 6 years, aren't
Don't
you?
Rule it out. Don't rule it out. We can go back to this pod in 6 years.
And, yeah, well, you've got there's a bit of cricketing talent in the family. You know, you like to tell me if you're handy. Handy off a short run, aren't you?
No, I'm a batter.
Okay, moving on. Now, we know that the Premier League is back because we've already got problems with supporters. I don't know why I'm laughing. Manchester United are at Brentford at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. No public transport available to get them home, which is nice. Nice for them, that is. Arsenal are at Manchester City on Sunday. There is a rail disruption, so it's going to take them 4, 5, 6 hours to get home, which is nice for them. Nice to see that supporters have been looked after, as ever, in and around our great game, Chris.
I don't know what's going on with the rail network. I mean, I'm a regular train user, and I would say 50% of the time I'm late. Not I'm late, the trains are late.
But
just
we not, talk
just
about...
run smoothly.
Yeah, we can sit here and talk about problems and late trains and train strikes, etc. But if you program Manchester United to play away at Brentford on a Saturday night at 8 o'clock, it doesn't matter what's going on with the trains because there aren't any at that time on a Saturday.
That's a fair point.
And it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. Right, the big game of the weekend. We've already mentioned it. Arsenal at Manchester City on Sunday. We keep saying it, but it's another huge game. That has enormous implications for the title race. If Arsenal were to win, which they don't usually do at Manchester City, they've not won there since January 2015. But if they do, they'll be 4 points clear at the top of the Premier League. The goal difference is substantially better than City's. So it'd be 5 points, really. Opportunity knocks.
It does, and while you make the point about Arsenal's record at Manchester City not being that good, why wouldn't they go there and be bullish? Top of the league, most goals scored, least goals conceded. If you look at their performances from last season, not that I'm a stats man, Ian, but all the stats are saying that they have made progress. And if you look at Manchester City's stats from last season, they're not quite at the level. Listen, if Arsenal go there and win it, what an opportunity to win the Premier League. I think it'll be out of them and Liverpool. But I've just got a sneaking feeling, and this isn't based on anything other than Manchester City, their ability over the last 6-7 seasons to find a way and go on these incredible runs. But I actually looked at them briefly this morning, and what's amazing about Manchester City, I think, well, they're not quite there yet. Out of the last 22 games, I think they've won something like 19. They, you know, they haven't lost. They've won 19 and drawn 3. And we're saying they're not at the level. What it does tell us is this season, those three teams, City, Arsenal and Liverpool, the levels that they have hit have been truly remarkable.
Yeah, it's, at this time of year, you tend to look at Manchester City's run and just see WWWW on repeat until the end of May when we give them the
record,
Premier League.
Their record, Ian, against the top five teams. I mean, Manchester City have 3 points at this moment
yeah,
in time.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at Arsenal who have 8 points, Liverpool who have 6 points. And, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily have thought that, but now is the time City have to click into gear. Because if they go and lose this game, I think it'll be curtains for them.
Now, Mikel Arteta, I don't agree with that, by the way. I don't think it would be, but I take your point. It'd be a huge advantage for Arsenal.
4 points?
So, Mikel Arteta, the Arsenal manager, has a tendency before games to use different ways to motivate his players, different kind of speeches, some interesting analogies that he sometimes draws from his own life and from the wider world. But if I was him, ahead of this game, I would walk into that dressing room and just go Edison, Walker, Akanji, Stones, because there's every chance that none of those four players will play for City. Edison has the injury that we know. Walker, Akanji, Stones all picked up knocks on
international
duty.
We're not medical experts.
We're not, but hamstrings, such as the one that Walker did, groins, such as the one that Stones did, don't tend to heal overnight. We do know that. So if those players are missing...
Great, brilliant.
What?
Well, what? That's brilliant from you, isn't it? That hamstrings don't tend to heal overnight. I'll have to go to your surgery.
We don't have to go back and talk about my hamstring injury again, do we? We've already done that one. I think we lost a ton of listeners after I spent 10 minutes talking about my massage at Manchester City back in the day. But look, back to the point. If those players don't play, if a couple of them don't play, they're huge holes to fill. International players. Kyle Walker, you know, the best right back in the country. John Stones, the kind of modern version of Franz Beckenbauer. If those players don't play, opportunity knocks loudly for Arsenal. Come on. It's their time. It's got to be their moment.
Look, I think so. But then, I mean, there's not many positions at Manchester City which you feel they can't cover adequately, you know, enough. And Arsenal have a few injury doubts as well. So I just think it's going to be fascinating how this game pans out, because if we go back to the game, was it October? I think it was October. Anyway, the game earlier on in the season between the two teams, and I certainly expected both teams to go toe-to-toe. They didn't do, and Arsenal were very, very cagey. Martinelli came on and was the difference maker, albeit with a deflected goal. So it's just the way Mikel Arteta goes about setting his team up, whether they'll be quite cagey or whether you've made the point, if Manchester City have, you know, injuries and their back line hasn't, there's something this season where you do feel that teams can get at Manchester City, and it's how Mikel Arteta sees the best way to sort of navigate his team through, whether he really goes for it or not.
I mean, it's in these big games away from home that Arsenal tend to find themselves a little bit out of their comfort zone historically. We've already said that they haven't won at City since 2015.
I don't pay any attention to that.
They haven't
nonsense.
Won at Liverpool since 2012.
So they're due to win.
Okay.
And their performances
yeah, okay.
this season.
Right.
As a player, you're sitting on the coach. You're not thinking about what happened 8 years ago. Or, you know, over previous years, you're thinking about the here and now. Based on this season, Arsenal have improved. You know, defensively, they're the best defence in the Premier League. They have the best attack in the Premier League. And they can take great confidence from that, albeit respecting their opponents in the process.
Well, if that's true, if that's right, and I'm not sure you are, but if that's right and they can put all thoughts of previous disappointments and previous failures at the Etihad out of their mind and go there and go toe-to-toe with Manchester City, I think you and I both agree that they've got a hell of a chance, and we both know that's going to be a hell of a game. Now, at the other end of the Premier League, Nottingham Forest host Crystal Palace on Saturday. Forest are in the bottom three now, I think, for the first time this season, after their Premier League points deduction. So the fight to survive for Forest starts now.
Yes, it does. And I just wonder, they're appealing the points deduction, aren't they? When that appeal process, when it actually happens, will be really interesting. I did hear there's talk that it could go beyond the season.
Yeah.
What? How can that possibly happen? But I think that Nottingham Forest, if they do end up going down, whether they get a points deduction or not, they will point to that Luton game where they had Luton by the scruff of the neck, had chances, didn't take them, and guess what? Luton scored late. Luke Berry scored late. And that would have been a really sore one. But at this moment in time, there things just under Nuno, since Nuno's gone in, they had the initial upturn, I think. But at this moment in time, they do seem to be a club in a real mess.
Yeah, they did have an initial upturn when he went. They beat Newcastle, they beat Manchester United. But since then, they've pretty much hardly beaten anybody. I feared at the time that Nuno would not only not be an upgrade on Steve Cooper, but be a downgrade. I think that is the way it's turning out at the moment. It's interesting what you say about Forest appeal against the points deduction and how that may not be settled until the end of the season. I mean, it would be until after the end of the season. I mean, it would feel a little bit appropriate, given that every goal that's scored in the Premier League these days, you're not allowed to celebrate or commiserate until you've had a five-minute VAR delay. Well, sounds as though relegation will not be celebrated or commiserated at the end of the season because we'll have to wait for this. Seems quite fitting with the way football is at the moment. Now, I have to say, you were born in Nottingham. I used to cover Nottingham Forest for the Nottingham Evening Post back in the day. We're both fond of Forest. However, I'm running out of sympathy for them, I have to say. I think they made a poor appointment with Nuno. They were still buying players they didn't need in January and who haven't been in the team. And now we have the transcript available of what the first team coach, Stephen Reid, said to referee Paul Tierney at the end of that game that they controversially lost to Liverpool a few weeks ago. Just for background, for those of you who don't remember, Forest lost a game very late on to a Darwin Núñez goal, but it came 2 minutes after referee Paul Tierney had restarted the game following a head injury. He restarted the game by giving the ball to Liverpool when it should have been given to Forest. He made a mistake. However, Stephen Reid was one of the many Forest members of staff who charged or walked onto the field at the end of that game to approach referee Tierney. And now we know what Reid said. He said, "It's the same every week, you c***. I worked with you effing lot every effing week last season. It's the same every effing week, you c***." Referee Tierney also claimed that he used the C word one more time on the way off the field. Reid has now, and this is, I mean, I'm going to try and say this with a straight face. Reid has been fined £5,000 by the FA and will serve a 2-game touchline ban. Chris, I think you know what I will think about all that, but I'm very, very keen to hear your view as well.
You know what my feeling is on this. It's about the knock-on effect this can have further down the pyramid, grassroots refereeing. And when you hear a Premier League coach speak to a referee in that way and get a measly fine, which, you know, you probably won't bat an eyelid to, I think that sends a terrible, terrible message. I really do, Ian. You know, language like that, you have to set a precedent. You have to be strong. And they have to make an example out of Stephen Reid. Having said all this, there are players on a weekly basis in the Premier League and across leagues all around the world who use similar language to referees and who get away with it as well. That, you know, that clearly doesn't make it right. But if Stephen Reid has to be made an example of, and he should you know, be banned. I'd ban him for a season. I'd take him off the touchline for a season.
I would certainly take him off the touchline for the rest of this season. I think it's abysmal. It's abysmal. It's appalling behaviour. It's the type of behaviour that takes our game into the gutter. It embarrasses our game in the eyes of the people who watch it, people who play it, people who have to referee it on a Saturday at the top level, but also on parks pitches around the country. It embarrasses us in the eyes of other sports where participants manage to behave themselves, manage to keep a civil tongue, manage to treat officials with respect.
But in other sports, you know, let's not make out other sports are all white in that respect because they are not.
Chris, you call a referee, you use that language to a referee on the rugby field, on the cricket field, on a tennis court. Your feet don't touch the ground, Chris, and you know that.
But you can't. Don't want to get in an argument. I'm not saying it's right, but you can't just say it's just a problem in football because you know it clearly isn't. But that's not the whole point.
It's a huge problem in football. This Forest have also been fined £75,000 for failing to control their players. Just for some background. The commission was told this is the fourth time Forest have faced sanction for surrounding a match official in the last 18 months, and they've been fined 7 times for other rule breaches. So this is an endemic problem at Forest. So why has it not been dealt with properly? £5,000, £75,000. It's an absolute joke, Chris. It's an absolute joke. You seem to think, by the way, you were mentioning to me before this programme started, that on the field, Forest fixtures might offer them a way out of the hole that they've managed to fall into.
Yeah, I think the fixtures, I mean, they've got Tottenham away and Manchester City at home. But other than that, I think the fixtures are pretty okay. They've got Sheffield United and Burnley away, their last two away games. I mean, that's an opportunity for them. Who knows what's going to happen with this appeal. I find the whole thing, if it happens at the end of the season or beyond the end of the season, I cannot get my head around that. But Forest have got to find a way of staying up. But, you know, the point you make about players and coaching staff and even the owner, Marinakis, verbally attacking officials just tells you that they're a club in disarray at this moment in time and they're a club which lack leadership. And that's, you know, if they want to get out of this mess, they need to actually settle down, think clearly, and that leadership needs to come back from all areas.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Chelsea home to Burnley on Saturday. Who knows which direction Chelsea's season's going to go between the end now and the end of the campaign. They're in an FA Cup semi-final. The FA Cup could offer them a way into Europe, but we said that about the Carabao Cup and they didn't manage to get over the line with that one. But in the league, they're still kind of marooned in mid-table. One thing that interested me being at Wembley on Tuesday for the England-Belgium game was watching Romelu Lukaku play. Had a really, really good game, really caused England's defence problems with his hold-up play, his running off the shoulder of the last defender, his hunger for the ball, his desire to have possession, and also the superb way that he provided that second goal for Youri Tielemans with a superb cross with the outside of his foot after bullying Lewis Dunk and possibly bullying Lewis Dunk out of European Championship contention. But my point is watching him, it just makes me reminded me that he's still a Chelsea player. He's on loan at Roma. He's got 2 years left on that contract at Stamford Bridge that he signed for Thomas Tuchel 2 seasons ago. He was asked about it afterwards in the interview area. Somebody was congratulating him on his performance and said, do you still feel you have a point to prove with English football? Are you still looking to impress people? And he just laughed and said, you'll have to ask Chelsea, and walked away. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that Lukaku will ever play for Chelsea again. I don't think he will. Why do you think it didn't work? His record for Belgium is 83 goals in 114 games. That's an elite international record.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's a bit of a head scratcher, really, because if you look at Lukaku through patches throughout his career, he has been prolific. He's been an enormous handful. You know, he has all the attributes. I think first time round at Chelsea, he'd probably say, well, he was a little bit young, things didn't work out for him, and Manchester United, I suppose you'll know better than me, but the jury's sort of out on him at Manchester United. Did some good things, but as a Manchester United centre forward, they would have expected a little bit more. Then went away to Italy and had a superb spell at Inter. So then he goes to Chelsea, and you think, here we go. Scored on his first game, took all the plaudits. That was away at Arsenal, and you think, this is it. Really important goal for him. Hit the ground running second time round, and he just sort of fizzled out. I don't know whether he was in the best condition, in truth, and maybe let himself go a little bit, but he lost confidence and he wasn't the same player. Hence is, headed back to Italy and does well over there, has done well internationally. But that's... I can't see it being third time lucky for him. I can't see him wanting to entertain Chelsea. In many respects, you could say, could Tuchel have got more out of him? But I do think, a large part of it was down to, Lukaku and not possibly looking after himself the way that he should have done.
I think the best football I ever saw him play was actually for Everton. He was an absolute handful for Everton. He really did play well when he was on Merseyside, and that was what got him his move to United. At United, they thought he occasionally lacked a bit of the most polite way to put it. I don't think he was quite as well, what they thought, quite as kind of wholly committed on and off the pitch as he might have been. That was just their view. I'm not saying it was true. I watched him play. He never looked comfortable at United. His goals record is actually okay, but I think they hide the fact that he never really looked comfortable, just like he didn't massively look comfortable at Chelsea.
I don't think you should. I know what you're saying, and people have pointed to his sort of lack of fitness levels. He seems to be a player who puts on weight and hasn't always stayed on top of it. We know that he's a brilliant goal scorer. I don't think there's any sort of shame in saying that. Essentially, he hasn't looked after himself the way that he should have done. And I think that's been detrimental, to his career at times. There have been other times when he's, been really on it and conditioned. And when he's been like that and looked after himself, then, it's flowed for him, hasn't it?
And he's now a member of that not very exclusive club of players who've come to Chelsea for big money and not done terribly well. It's a very, very long list. And that's not a dig at you, by the way. It's not a dig at you. It wasn't a dig at you. But you can take it that way if you want to. That's not how it was meant. Now, Burnley, Burnley's goalkeeper, James Trafford, was called into the England squad in the week as a replacement for Sam Johnstone. Sam Johnstone now is having surgery on an elbow problem and is definitely out of the European Championships this summer. That means that there is a goalkeeping berth available for Germany in the summer. Obviously, Pickford and Ramsdale are the first two, but there's a space there. It seemed a bit odd seeing Trafford in that party, given that he's been dropped at Burnley. He didn't play the last game. Arjen Muric played instead as Burnley beat Brentford last time out. And I know that you're not overly happy with that situation, with Trafford being parachuted into that squad.
No, nothing against James Trafford, but I've seen plenty of him this season, and it's been a difficult season for him, difficult season for Burnley. But I think that you can look at his indecision from cross balls. I know at the start of the season, watching him play out from the back with his feet is really excellent, but he's a guy who's lost confidence the longer the season has gone on, hence why even his manager has realised that and made the change. And I don't know whether there's this usual anti-Scottish football agenda, but I think that Jack Butland being overlooked, I'm really surprised at that. And I think this season he's been a major part, one of the biggest parts of Rangers and their improvement under Philip Clement. Also, when he's played in European football, he has been very, very assured. Of course, he's played for England before. With the injury situation with goalkeepers at this moment in time, I think Gareth should, you know, get his backside up to Scotland and really watch Butland closely, because there's no way in my mind that James Trafford should be being picked in a squad ahead of Jack Butland.
I remember Butland when he was at Stoke, and Mark Hughes and Mark Bowen were the managerial team at Stoke at the time, and they thought they had. I remember them saying to me that they thought they had a £30 million goalkeeper on their hands. They thought Butland was so talented. He's had problems with injuries. That's what really, really set him back. And the question I'm going to ask you now, I'm not trying to trigger you, because I think Butland is a very talented goalkeeper. Very, very nice lad as well. I've interviewed him. And I'm not trying to trigger you. But would it? Do you think it's okay to pick a goalkeeper from a league that, with the greatest respect in the world, is not one of the top European leagues anymore? Should that come into Gareth's thinking or not?
No, it's trying to stay on top of this, really, with you.
I'm not trying to trigger you.
If we're in the same studio, I'd probably strangle you. I look at it like this. This is the way Gareth should look at it, and I'm not England manager, of course. Who has been the better goalkeeper this season? Okay, just based on this season, and it's not even a competition. Playing at Rangers or Celtic, it's not easy being a goalkeeper. And certainly domestically, there are often large periods of games where you're not involved. But when he has been called upon, he has, you know, he's been outstanding. Reads the game well. He's made crucial saves. He's gone into Europe and made big, big saves for Rangers. Difficult place to play. I'm not saying it's been easy for James Trafford at Burnley, but based on performance levels, it's not even a competition who should be picked, Butland or Trafford. And if I was Jack Butland, I'd be feeling that one.
It's a strong argument. It's a strong argument, and we'll leave it there. Very quickly before we finish, Liverpool at home to Brighton on Sunday. That obviously affects things at the top of the league table. And this feels a little bit like an audition for the Brighton manager, Roberto De Zerbi. De Zerbi is on the list at Anfield as a potential replacement for Jurgen Klopp. The new Anfield sporting director, Richard Hughes, is a fan of the Italian. He tried to take him to Bournemouth when he was doing a similar job there, very, very quickly and as concisely as possible. Has Roberto De Zerbi done enough during his time at Brighton? Has he won enough big games? Has he been there long enough to prove himself a suitable candidate for one of the big jobs in world football?
I think that De Zerbi has proved himself to certainly be in the running for the Liverpool job. I think last season, you know, outstanding, took the team to sixth place. We know the story, ends up selling, his best players. This season they've been competitive. They've had European football to deal with. Brand of football, I think he ticks a lot of boxes. I don't see it being, you know, necessarily a one-game audition. You know, if he goes to Anfield and his Brighton team beat Liverpool, I don't think that means that he will get the job. But he certainly will be in the thinking and deserves to be in that thinking as well. But what I would say to you as well, I know you hate fantasy football, but I will be captaining Mo Salah this week, and I think they've got Sheffield United the game after Liverpool. There's just a little tip for you, Ian.
And then they go back to Old Trafford. Back to Old Trafford. A week on Sunday, Liverpool. My goodness. The Premier League really is back, and it's good to have it back. Thanks for being with us, everybody. You know the drill. Spotify, Apple Podcast, hit the subscribe button, leave some comments, and make sure you're back with us on Monday. Chris and I will be looking back at Man City at Arsenal, back at Liverpool, Brighton, back at Brentford, Manchester United, and all the rest. And we'll see you then.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.